Let us turn our Bibles to Proverbs 28, and we will be looking at verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And so from this text, we understand that there are two coverings. One is man's covering, which is worthless and culpable, and God's covering, which is profitable, which is a perfect covering for sinners and worthy of all acceptation. Of course, when I talk or speak of God's covering, I'm also referring to a parallel text in Psalm 85, verse 2. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, and thou hast covered all their sin. So this afternoon, may the Lord help us through His Holy Spirit to learn on this subject, man's worthless covering and God's perfect covering. In the earlier chapters of Genesis, and I trust that you have read the book of Genesis. If not, I suggest that you do a series of just reading to have an overview of the Bible, to read from Genesis until the end of the Bible in Revelation in 1 year. And that will give you an overview of the Bible. Just read it. And anyway, I'm sure those in our congregation here, you have read the book of Genesis, and we find there that no sooner had man disobeyed God, the Maker, disobeyed God's will in the Garden of Eden, that Adam discovered to his horror, to his surprise, to his dismay, that he was naked, and he set apart, or rather set about at once, to do something for himself, to make himself a covering. And of course we know from the chapter in Genesis 3:7 that Adam and Eve sowed for themselves fig leaves to cover their nakedness. After that, God came in, as it is recorded there, revealed to Adam and Eve yet more fully their nakedness, make them confess their sin, brought their transgression home to them, and then it is written, the Lord God made them coats of skin. Genesis 3:21. So very likely, we can quite safely conclude that the coats of skins were made of animal skin, and which has been offered up in sacrifice. And so from that we have a type of what God has provided for man, with a sin offering and a robe of perfect righteousness. Every man since the days of Adam has gone through much the same experience, more or less relying on our own doing, our own works or merits to hide our own confusion of faith. We discover Adam, just like Adam, we discover that sin has made us naked, spiritually naked, and we have to set to work to clothe ourselves. As I shall attempt to show you presently, sinful man has never succeeded in covering his sin or her sin. But God has been pleased in His great mercy and compassion, is pleased to deal with us, His own people, His elect children, according to the riches of His grace. God has covered our shame and put away our sin, that they should not be remembered anymore. So we praise and thank God for those of us who are in Christ, that we have such a covering. Let us consider here from this text, firstly, man's covering and its failure, and then we want to look at God's covering and its perfection. And so once again, we seek the Holy Spirit's help to give us discernment, that we may see our own destitute and poor condition in the presence of God, and understand deeper, fuller, the merciful relief that God Himself has provided in the bounty of His grace. So firstly, man's covering and its failure. There are many ways, as you know, in which men try to cover their sin. Some do so by denying that they have sinned, or admitting the fact they deny the guilt, or else they may frankly acknowledge both the sin and the guilt. They excuse and exonerate themselves on the excuse of certain circumstances that cause them to sin, that they are not to be blamed and they should not be responsible for their sin. They come up with all kinds of excuses. Others cover their sin by pretext, by presence, by apology, by self-vindication. They acquit themselves of all criminality and put on a very fine gloss upon every foul delinquency. Excuse making, as you know, brethren, is the commonest trait under heaven. The slanderous material are put to the greatest account. A man who has no valid argument in arrest of judgment, no feasible reason why he or she should not be condemned, will go about and bring 1,000 excuses and 10,000 circumstances of extenuation. And so the whole sum of it is all very weak and inexcusable. There's no way we can come up with any form of excuses or reason with circumstances that cause us to fall into the sin. Therefore, we are not accountable. In using all kinds of excuses in our defense, we are actually committing a fresh sin. For you are abasing God when you come up with excuses like that. You are implicating the Almighty God. You are disputing the law of God to vindicate yourself for breaking it. There is no small degree of criminality about such an unrighteous defense. The law is holy, the law is just, the law of God is good, and you are throwing the onus of your sin upon God. Brethren, I trust that you will not resort to such a covering as this, because while it is utterly useless, it adds sin to sin and expose you to fresh shame. In many cases, sinners violating the law of God have hoped to cover their transgression by secrecy. They have done the deed in darkness. They hope that no one heard their footstep or listened to their speech. They themselves held their tongue, and they flatter themselves that there are no witnesses. No one saw what I did. No one heard what I said. And so it was, as we see in the Old Testament, the case of the man by the name of Achan, who took the forbidden Babylonish garment, hid it secretly, thinking that no one knows. All looks very well. All looks very right to his own heart's content. He has smoothed it down and spread a carpet over it, over the grave of his last little did he reckon of the omniscient eye who saw everything. Little did he count on the casting of the lot that would bring home to the tribe of Judah, to the tribe of each family in the tribe of Judah, and finally that lot fell to Achan himself and his family, and he can do nothing but to stand out and confess that he is a traitor, a robber of his God. Men know, you and I know very little the ways in which the Almighty God, the searching eye of God, can find us out. Just as Achan was discovered, and bring the evidence that convicts out of the devices that were intended to cover that sin. Brethren and friends, do you know that providence is a wonderful detective? Have you ever thought of that? There are hounds or dogs upon the track of every thief, every murderer, and every liar, in foot upon every sinner of every kind. Each sin leaves a trail. The dogs of judgment will be sure to scent it out and find their prey. There is no disentangling yourselves from the messes of guilt, no possibility of evading the penalty of transgression. Very wonderful have been the ways in which persons who have committed crimes have been brought to justice in the providence of God. A trifle becomes a telltale. The method of deceit gives a clue to the manner of discovery. Wretched the man who bury their secrets in their own bosom. Their conscience plays traitor to them. They have often forged to betray themselves. God would have the secret disclosed. No eye have seen, neither could every other tongue have told, but the man turned prosecutor against himself. He has thus brought himself to judgment. And this has happened, often happened, in some form or other, that the conscience has thus been a witness against man. Yes, you may, to some extent, sear that conscience, as Paul says, but don't forget, you may sear it now, and you may think that, oh, I cannot remember. Sure, you cannot remember, but on that final day, when you and I stand before God, if you have not repented of your sin and stand before God, that consciousness will be revived. And you will be very clear, and you will remember what you have said, what you have done, what you are supposed to say, what you are not supposed to say, what you are supposed to do, and not what you are not supposed to do, all will be very clear to you. We call it the sins of omission and the sins of commission. Am I speaking to someone who is practicing a secret sin? Are you attempting to conceal your sin like Achan? Believe me, however the sin, it is known. Numbers 32:23 warns us, be sure your sin will find you out. It is vain to think that you can conceal your transgression. Before high heaven, disguise is futile. So dear friends, if you confess your sin to God and make restitution to those whom you have offended, you would soon come to peace. Peace in God and peace from God. But you who vainly hope that you can cover your sin and hide it from the eyes of God and man, the result is he that covereth his sin in this fashion shall not prosper. Again, many a times there are those who try to cover their sin with falsehood. Indeed, this is the usual habit, to lie, to cover their guilt by denying it. And so we find another case in Scripture. Was this not the way with Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, in 2 Kings chapter 4? If you have not read that, go back home and read it, that account. His case is a good example of trying to cover his sin by denying it. Then we also have in the New Testament, who? The sin of Ananias and Sapphira in lying in order to hide their sin. And how quickly was it discovered, and how terrible was the retribution, isn't it? How deadly it is to wave or to weave a tangled web of lies. Indeed, when once you begin to deceive or begin to lie, and when you have woven it, you have to do what? You have to add lie to lie, and to lie and to lie, and yet to no purpose, for you will be surely found out. There is something about a lie that always deludes the man who utters it. Liars have need of good memories. Is it not true? They are sure to leave a little corner uncovered through which the truth escapes. Some little gap here, some little hole there, which they thought was fully covered. But no, their story does not hang together. Discrepancy excite suspicion, and evasion furnish a clue to discovery till the naked truth is unveiled. Then the deeper the plot, the fouler is the shame. That's the result. But to lie unto the God of truth, of what use? Can you lie to God? What do we read of the Psalms? Was it in Psalm 39 that says, God even knows what is in our heart and in our mind before even we speak it? What advantage you to plead not guilty when God has witnessed your crime? That infallible eye which never make mistakes is never closed. Remember that. God don't sleep, and God don't need to sleep like us. He knows everything. From him no secret is hid. Why therefore do you imagine that you can deceive your Creator, your Maker? One more cover I like to bring up that sinners are prone to put on, and that is that their sin has already been hidden away by the lapse of time. We flatter ourselves and say, oh, it was so long ago, I had almost forgotten about it. I was very young then. Another person says, I am grey-headed now. It must have been like 20, 30 years ago that I did that. Surely, we flatter ourselves again and say, surely, we do not think that the sins of our former days will be brought against me. Surely God is merciful. Time, we tell ourselves, time must have obliterated it. Not so, my dear friend, not so. It may be that the lapse of time will only make the discovery of it more clear or fuller. How often the transgression of our youth retain or within, or rather remain within our hearts. There lie the eggs of our young sin, and they hatch when men come into riper years. Don't be too sure, brethren and friend, that the lapse of time will consign your faults and follies to oblivion. The time has intervened. The time that has intervened has only operated to make that evil seed to spring up, and you are so much the nearer to the harvest. Time does not change the hue of sin in the sight of God. If a man could live 1,000 years, the sins of his first year would be as fresh in the memory of the Almighty as those of the last. Eternity itself will never wash out a sin. Neither time nor eternity can cleanse it, my friend. Only one thing can remove sin. The lapse of time cannot. Let not any one of us be so foolish as to hope it will. When the trumpet of the resurrection sounds, there will be a resurrection of character as well as of man. The man who has been foully slandered will rejoice in the light that reflects his purity or his innocence. Those of you who have been wrongly accused, don't worry. The truth will come out on that final day, and it will prove your innocence. But the man whose latent vices has been skillfully veneered or covered will be brought to light also. His acts, his motives will be alike exposed. As he himself looks and sees the resurrection of his crimes, with what horror will he face on the day of judgment? You see, that is why, brethren, we are encouraged in the Word of God that we should not envy those who do wickedly. When we see the wicked prosper, and we who are doing righteously and we suffer, the Word of God to us, don't worry. They will have their reward. They may not have it now. They may still continue to enjoy all their wickedness, and through their wickedness and through their deceit and through their sin prosper and do well. Like what the psalmist says, they will grow up like a big banyan tree, and their children also are blessed. Don't worry. Just wait. On that day, on that final day, they will say to themselves, "Where am I? I have forgotten about this. As I say, wow, this is when? 30, 40 years ago? Those are the sins of my childhood, the sins of my youth, the sins of my manhood, the sins of my old age. I thought they were all buried and forgotten and dead." But they start from their tombs. "My memory has been quickened." Quickened means alive, make alive. "How my brain reels as I think of all of them." But there they are. "So therefore, brethren, beware. You have buried your sins, but they will rise up from their graves and accuse you before God." Time cannot cover your sin and my sin. So I went on, roughly, a few ways where we sinners hope to cover our sin, but we shall not prosper. Those who persist in covering their sin instead of confessing and forsaking them, they will not have mercy, but they will not prosper. None of this shall succeed. And now I want to come to a happier note. To draw your attention to the second part of our text, but whoso confess and forsake of them shall have mercy. And of course, I'm also taking this second head from the text in Psalm 85 verse 2. Thou hast covered all their sin. And this fact is affirmed concerning the people of God, for concerning those who are truly in Christ, all who have trusted in the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was presented by the Lord Jesus upon Calvary, and whoso confess and forsake of their sin may accept this welcome assurance from our Lord, from our God. God has covered all their sins. The sin of His elect children. The sin of those who turn to Him and trust in Him. And the way God covers a man's sin is firstly to uncover or to unveil the man's sin. Did you ever see your sins uncovered? Did God do that work in you? Did you ever seem as if the Lord put His hand upon you and said, look at them, look at your sin? Have you been led to see your sin as you never saw them before? Have you felt the aggravations of your sin that drive you to despair? Have you that spiritual experience? If God so make you see your sin in the light of His countenance, then thank God. Depend on it that He has His purposes of mercy towards you. When you see and confess your sin to Him, He will plot it out soon. As soon as God, in infinite loving kindness, makes the sinner know in truth that he is a sinner and strip him of his rags of his self-righteousness, God immediately grants pardon and clothes his nakedness or her nakedness. While he or she stands shivering before the gaze of the thrice holy God, condemned, the guilt is purged from his conscience. God makes sinner know that He sees how sinful they are, and He makes the sinner feel how vile and leprous he or she is. His justice withers his pride. His judgment horrifies their heart. He or she is humbled in the very dust and made to cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, dear friends, not till this gracious work of conviction by the Holy Spirit is fully impressed upon the sinner, upon you, does the Lord appear with glorious proclamation that whosoever believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ shall have his sin covered. You must first have this work, the work of the Holy Spirit in convicting you of your sin, in uncovering or unveil your sin, till you see your own sinfulness, till you realize and feel it. Then you will come to the Lord Jesus. Whosoever among you, knowing himself to be guilty, will come and put his trust or her trust in Jesus Christ and shall his sin cover. You may ask, can God do that? Really? Will He do that? Yes, He can. He said it in His word. But do you believe it? He alone can cover sin. Against Him, the sin was committed. It is the offended person who must pardon the offender. No one else can. He is the Creator. He is the King. He has the right to pardon. He is the Sovereign Lord, and He can plot out sin. Beside that, He can cover it lawfully for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's beloved Son, in order that the justice of God might be vindicated bare his body to its dreadful hurt and suffered in our room and place instead what we ought to have suffered as the penalty of our sin. Now the sacrifice of God covers sin, covers it right over. And he, more than covers it, he makes sin cease to be. Moreover, the Lord Jesus kept the law of God, and his obedience stands instead of our obedience. And God accepts him and his righteousness on our behalf, imputing his merits to our souls. Is this your experience? Oh, I hope you can see here the virtue of that atoning blood of Christ, the blessedness of that perfect righteousness of the Son of God, by which he covers our sin. Beloved, such is Jesus Christ, the covering for all our sins, not some of our sins, but all of our sins. God sees no sin in those who are hidden beneath the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember this. Those of you who are believers, those of you who are in union with Christ, do not be discouraged. Do not give up when you fall and falter and yield to temptation and sin against God. God is willing and gracious to forgive. Remember 1 John 1:9. But of course, you must come to him in true broken spirit and contrite heart. And if you confess, if you forsake, you shall have mercy. Against the true believer, there is not a sin in God's book recorded. He that believes in Jesus is perfectly absolved. Thou hast covered all their sin. And so I invite you to believe, to consider its precious promise. And I hope you will and those of you who have not believed will come to taste of the sweetness of having your sin covered by the blood of the Lamb. To know that every sin one has ever committed, known and unknown, is gone forever, covered by the blood of the Lamb. Listen to the word of the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31:34. Brethren, here we are given a very broad covering. The covering completely covers and forever covers. For as God sees today no sin in those who are washed in Jesus' blood, so will he never see any. You are accepted with an acceptance that nothing can change. Whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. I trust that this will be of great comfort to you. The reason of his love to sinners does not lie in their merits or their good works, not their charm. The cause of love is God, is in God himself. The ground of his acceptance of sinners is in the person and work of his Son, Jesus Christ. Whatever they may be, whatever may be your condition, whatever may be your heart's condition, they are accepted because Christ lived and died. It is not a precarious or a conditional, but it is an eternal acceptance. Therefore, Jesus says to you, come unto me, All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You are invited, brethren and friends. You are invited to lay hold upon eternal life. The way of doing it is very simple. So simple. No works of yours, no merits, no tears, no preparation are required, but trust. Trust, that is all. Believe in Jesus. Rely upon Him, depend upon Him, rest in Him. The Lord lead you to hide beneath His covering wings and grant you to be found in Christ, accepted in the Beloved. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, once again we are reminded of how gracious and merciful you are. Thank thee for your long suffering towards us. Thank thee, Heavenly Father, that you have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. How gracious and merciful you are. How patient you are towards us. Despite our turning away from you, despite our unfaithfulness and our ungratefulness, thou hast continued to show mercy and draw us back to yourself. And so we pray that you will help us. Only give us your grace, your wisdom, and the help of the Holy Spirit to help us, Lord, in this new week, to walk close to Thee, to walk in all Your ways, to walk in Your path of holiness and righteousness, in Your way of truth and light, in humility and in the fear of the Lord. O Father, we ask that You will give us help, for we confess that we are weak, and oftentimes we are drawn away. We are so taken up and distracted, and we forsake Thee, and we wander away like sheep. O Father, we pray that Thou, by Thy Spirit, will constantly bring to remembrance of Your promises to us, that Thou will give us much grace to wholly follow after Thee and to walk close to Thee, particularly in this new week, as You so lent us breath. So hear this our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen.